That was smooth, wasn't it? So smooth after such an emotional look at the wonderful things that God is doing in the life of our church. Hey, here is something that we all have in common if you're here. Most of us have in common if you are here with us this morning. You know someone that you know would love to know Jesus. You know someone that you would love to know Jesus. That person may be coming to mind now. That person may be in your prayers. That person may be like me. Their name is actually scribbled on a cement wall at the back of this auditorium. And so there, it may be a friend, it may be a grandchild, maybe a recently divorced friend, it may be someone who's been hurt or burnt by the church, maybe someone who has all sorts of different views of the church that you're working on or you work with. And I think here's the heartache for us, right? We think, well, if there is just a place, if there's just a place where I could bring them to that's not weird. Don't we often think that? If there is just a place that they could be a part of that's not weird, that I could invite them to, that's accessible, where they can just see Jesus clearly. And for almost 35 years, Northside has been that sort of place. For 35 years, Northside had a DNA to be for people who didn't like church. In fact, Northside in the early days, if you came to Northside, right, some of you original Northsiders, if you came to Northside, people in the rest of our denomination, the Churches of Christ, thought you were backslidden, right? Because that church reached out to and ministered to an element of Christian society that people wouldn't talk to. They were called divorcees. And there was a place where people found love and hope and healing. And so this church starts here as 60 people on the corner of this space, reaching out to people that didn't like church or frankly been hurt or burnt by the church, and had this DNA where our founding senior minister, Jay Basick, used to say that Jesus is central and people are vital. A church that we've stolen their values from. The values that you see of our church, that where we always point to Jesus and we accept people where they are, helping them to become all that God has designed them to be, where the sort of church where we communicate uncluttered Christianity and equip people to be healthy followers of Jesus. I've got to let you in on a secret. I stole that. Because those values we still hold today were given to our founding senior minister, where he said that there was a pad with a bit of pen on his bedside table and the Lord woke him with that and he scribbled it down, and it stays with us ever since. It's the sort of church that's carried that into a church in 2018 in the upper north shore of Sydney called the North Tarramurra Church of Christ, who voted to become part of this church that had this vision. A vision to be the sort of church that would engage the disengaged with Jesus. And thankfully, fashions have changed a little bit since then. Almost. We're starting to cycle back, aren't we, into the 90s? Yeah. In the 80s. Fashions have changed a little bit, but our heart as a church hasn't. And we've always wanted to be for people who says that church is really not for them. They say, church is not for me. It's kind of like the sort of people who say, well, like golf's not for me. It's not that they're anti-golf. I just don't golf. And it's not that people are anti-church. They just, church is not for me. And at a deeper level, there are people where they don't think that church is for them because the church hasn't been for them. And for so many years, the church has been more known by what it's against than what it's for. And so those people, well, those people look very different today. They're the people, they're the parents, like we just sat with at our son's basketball game at 8 o'clock this morning. They're the friends that you have at work. They're the people that you see brunching when you head across the road after this. All of them, we believe, would benefit from seeing Jesus more clearly. And so that's the sort of church that we want to be. And so, of course, our church has changed. Here's a picture of what it used to look like in those early days. And as a show of hands, if we've got anyone here that was in that photo or can remember they're in that photo, can you stand up for us? Can we give them a round of applause? Things look really different these days, but the vision hasn't changed at Northside. We want to be the sort of place that when someone knows someone that they know would want to know Jesus, this is a church that you could bring them to. And I see these stories happen all the time. I shared with the leaders at our leaders meeting on Tuesday, Team Northside, that's what we call it now, a story of a Northsider who's no longer with us, because I had one of those beautiful coffee conversations where they said to me, "Sam, I don't think Northside's the church for me anymore. I want to go to a Pentecostal church. I want something that's a bit more expressive. And please don't for a minute think that I'm knocking different versions of church when I share this story." But they said, this is not for me anymore. I'm moving on. And I hadn't heard from this person for a couple of years. And a couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call from them. And they said, "Hey, Sam, long time no speak. I've got someone who I've been sowing seeds of Jesus into. I've been sharing bits of Jesus with. And they've had an incredible and a miraculous conversion to Christianity." I said, "Wow, that's wonderful. What are we chatting for?" And they said, "Well, I want to send them to Northside." I said, "Well, why don't you send them to your church at the moment?" They said, "I can't send them to my church. My church's crazy." Crazy for Jesus in a great way. It's really good. And I've had those conversations time and time again where people who I've loved dearly, who have moved on from this place, have come back here with a friend because they're involved and they're serving and they're part of dynamic, beautiful churches. Please don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the time when someone has just decided to follow Jesus, they go, "I want them to go to Northside." Because we're always about being the sort of church where you can see Jesus more clearly. We want to engage the disengaged with Jesus. Now, with all of that, here's my concern. I don't want us to drift from that Northside. I grew up under our founding senior minister in this church and my predecessor, and we always had this heart and vision and DNA to be a church for the unchurched, and I don't want us to drift from that. But one of the greatest challenges in the church is that throughout history, we see that churches have a tendency to drift towards the insider. Churches have this tendency to drift towards the people that are already here. And the big part of the reason here is because the insiders are the ones that are here. Big part of the reason for that is outsiders, people are not here yet. Outsiders don't complain. Outsiders don't make noise. Outsiders don't book meetings with the pastor to have a discussion about how we should be singing or what we should be doing, because they're not here. And so inevitably churches start to, if they're not absolutely vigilant around this, start to end up catering for themselves. And before we know it, it's all about our style of music and our certain language and our way that we dress and our theology and the way that we view the Bible. And if you stay in church long enough, it's actually about our seat. You know, hasn't that happened in church once or twice before? You know, poor people that walk up and they go to sit down and someone comes up to them and stares them down and says, "You're in my seat. I've been sitting in that seat since 1985. Hey, we laugh because we know that we can do this, right, church? Right? Can we make a deal to not be that sort of church? Can we make a deal with each other this morning? This is why we do Vision Sunday. Make a deal to say, let's not become that sort of church. Let's not be a church that is geared for the insider, but for the outsider. And you know what? Some of the most healthy and dynamic churches were for the outsider. And when that happens, I'll give you a clue from what happens to the Bible. Church gets really, really messy. Church gets really messy because people come in with all sorts of opinions and, dare I say, behaviors that are not like us. And it's just not a modern thing. It's an old church thing. It happened to the very first mega church in Jerusalem. James's church, the brother of Jesus, you know, he's just the brother of Jesus, and the next minute he ends up leading a church, mega church, of 5,000 people, because we read, right, that Peter preaches and 5,000 were added to their number in one day, bang, mega church. And the Jews, the insiders of that church, were starting to get really upset at the outsiders that were coming in with all of their debaucherous behaviors, and that they were saying they're having to do all sorts of things in order to join church all sorts of different religious practices that had the Roman guys crossing their legs because there was a Jewish practice that was quite painful that they were saying you had to do to turn up to church. And there's this big fight that happens and all the heavyweights from the church come in and Paul comes in who's been converting all these debaucherous outsiders and Peter, a Jewish champion for the Jewish Christians, is there and they're all having a big fight at the biggest strata meeting you've ever seen in history. It was called the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. And there, James, like every good pastor, tries to broker the peace. And James, after hearing all of this squabbling about behaviors in church, said a verse that sits at the heart of who we are as a church. It should be up on our walls. It should be up as you walk into this church. And James says this, here is my conclusion. We should not make it difficult for the Gentiles, for the divorcee, for that friend of yours, for the person who's been hurt or bent by church, for the person who's got all sorts of wild views of Christianity, for the single mum, for the recently remarried. We should not make it difficult for those who are turning to God. That's the sort of church we want to become. So how do we do that? Well, I've been looking through the book of Acts because the Acts is really, the Acts of the Apostles is really Dr. Luke, his version, his eyewitness account of how the church was born. It's Dr. Luke's version, someone who hung around with Jesus. It's his eyewitness account of what the church was like before it got religious. And we want to stay a church like that. And here are just four trends that I see through the book of Acts from Dr. Luke. Here's the first one. They were for people. It says all the believers were together and had everything in common and they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had in need. They were for people. Their view was not of themselves. You see this in the first century. Rodney Stark, a historian, documents some of the ways in which his first principal historic research of the church demonstrated what Christians were like. He says that most Christians during the plagues of Rome in the first century showed unbounded love and loyalty. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to every need and ministering to them in the name of Christ. And many departed their life serenely happy, for they were infected by their neighbors and they cheerfully accepted their pains. They lost their lives in this manner, and many elders and ministers did as well. And so here's what Stark says, his conclusion in all of this. He says, when the cities were falling apart, Christians stayed there and took care of people, even at the cost of their own lives. What an attitude. Early followers of Jesus said, we're not afraid of death. We're not afraid to be rich. We don't need to get ahead. We don't need to live. We're here for you. We're here for the peace of the city. We're here for the prosperity for the city. We're here for others. We are for you. The church was fundamentally for people who were nothing like them. The church was for people. Here's another thing that I see. God showed up, and when God showed up, people believed. Now, you see this in the book of Acts in chapter 4. Peter's preached a cracker of a sermon. They're amazed that this ordinary fisherman could say these things. And then it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were all filled, not the pastors, not the preachers. Everyone spoke the word of God boldly. They were shaken. Can you imagine what this place would be like if like God just decided to turn up on a Sunday morning? Some of us, I think, would say, oh, that was a bit more than I bargained for. You know, I just kind of got out of bed and bit of church and then a croissant. You know, I just didn't expect the God of the universe to shake the foundations. Right? But here's the story that we've seen in this place time and time again. I was chatting to one of our current elders as she was reflecting on her first time that she turned up to Northside. And she said, yeah, you know what? The first time I turned up, I cried. And then she said, you know, those others, friends of ours who remain nameless, but they're here. She said, they cried too. And you know, I was sitting with a guy last week. It was his first time in church ever. And at the end of the end of communion, he said, I've got goosebumps. Is that normal? guys, I've come to believe that, particularly after COVID, like if something amazing and wonderful is going to happen in this church, it's not going to be because of how clever I am at delivering this. It's because God shows up. And we want God to show up in people's lives, here and in our groups, and downstairs in kids, near the youth ministry up at Tara on a Friday night with Tina and all the crew. We want God to show up. Here's the other thing I've seen in the book of Acts. You know, there weren't any Christians. You think that's ridiculous. But there weren't in the early church. They were followers of Jesus. They didn't call themselves Christians. Didn't have all the baggage associated with the brand. They were just followers. There's a church in Antioch. Antioch was ancient New York City. The population of Antioch was so big that it had a population density more dense than modern-day New York City. And it says, when he arrived, Paul, and saw what the grace of God had done, a great number of people were brought to the Lord, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It's only until you get to that point that you get that word, which was a nickname. Because what happens in this city where, like, it's a population density the size of New York, and there are literal walls that would divide the races. You'd have the Jews and you'd have the Greeks and you'd have the Romans, and then you'd have all the rest in the cores of the city. People were jumping over the walls to do church. And people didn't understand what was going on, and they were saying, what is this? What do you call this? And I don't know, some bloke, you should get royalties for this. Some bloke goes, I don't know what that bunch of people are. You know, they talk about the Christ, so why don't we just call them Christians? And so what it means for us is that we are followers first of Jesus. It means when you understand that, the way that Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, the way that we live our lives, the way that we study our word that Kristen encouraged us with, the way that we are being transformed by Jesus Christ on the inside individually, ultimately affects us corporately. What you do on a Monday through to a Saturday matters. Who you becoming matters. And when you are a Jesus follower and not a Christian, first of all, you can get rid of the baggage. But also you start to come and realize that it's not sufficient to grow into the likeness of Jesus to come into a nice auditorium with carpet and lights and just do the Christian move when sin says something special or good. It's good. We're followers of Jesus, and what you do outside of this place matters. It matters. And here's the last one. Everyone was empowered. There's this section where the church is exploding in the book of Acts, and the apostles, the leaders of the church, didn't know what to do. There were so many people hanging around that they were having to distribute food. And so the leaders of the church said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. They're not being prideful, by the way. They're just realizing that there's a bottleneck here in the organizational structure. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So in other words, they empowered everyone to be a part of church. In church back then, everyone played, everyone contributed, everyone had a part, everyone had a gift to give, everyone brought something into the middle, and the church exploded. Everyone played. And so there we see the pattern of the church. They were 4 people. God showed up and everyone believed. They weren't Christians, just followers, and everyone could participate. Everyone was empowered. And so here's what I'm thinking. Like, what if we just did that? Right, what if we just did that? And that kind of is our heart. Like, that's what I do as a preacher. Here's what I've prepared earlier, Moira. Now, that's part of what we're doing as a church, is that we are seeking to be for people. Our priorities this year in 2024 is that we want to be for people. We want to meet 3 needs of the local community, and we want the local community to tell us what these needs are. I know up at Tarramurra, Barry's already met with the local mayor of the Ku-ring-gai Council to see what the needs of our community are. We want to show people that we are for them before we want something from them. We want authentic and inspiring gatherings. We want God to show up in our small groups, in our youth ministry, in our kids' church, and here. We want a transcendent experience. Kerry Newhoff, the Christian commentator and podcaster who was here a couple of weeks ago, says that the thing that people outside the church that they're looking for more than anything else in our modern day culture is a sense of transcendence or otherworldliness. We want God to show up in the most authentic of ways. We want movement towards Jesus. We want to provide systems and places and spaces where every person can take one step closer to Jesus, wherever you are in a faith spectrum. And of course, we want empowered people. When Kristen says Team Northside, please understand this is so much more than just turning up and signing up for a roster. You don't know the impact of your ministry and where you serve and how that could impact someone's life. You know what? There was someone probably 20-something years ago in this church that was running a course called Divorce Care. That was a course where this guy's father found hope and healing. This young teenage kid ends up getting dragged along to a church that was in a warehouse and a factory in Crow's Nest because he'd found hope and healing through a course that some volunteer who had been ahead of him had run. Somehow you end up on a tech desk and fiddling all the knobs up at the back of church, and then you start hearing more about Jesus and then owning your faith, and then you go through your crazy teenage years and you have these seeds sown from this community that you've been a part of, and then you head overseas to go and go a little bit crazy and get away from your parents and all that Christian stuff, and as God would have it, he calls you back to be a minister. And here he sits before you and stands before you today, and it's my belief that there are people sitting in this congregation, and when I say this congregation, not so much this room, but the room that's underneath us. Young lives that we see in those photos that are being invested into and excited to turn up and listen to Jesus, being supported by a whole bunch of people that sit above them and believe that they're not the next generation, but they're the now generation. Because frankly, my kids evangelize better than I do. Because they don't carry the baggage and they don't get worried about that sort of stuff. They love Jesus and they just want the people and the friends that they love to love the things that they love. So why don't you just love Jesus? And so this kid was thankful for a church and a congregation that didn't feel like it was anything huge or much at the time, but loved each other deeply and just was committed to this vision for uncluttered Christianity and just served their hearts out. And God showed up here and there in all sorts of amazing different moments that we had in the life of the church. And so that church that I'm on corner looks a little bit different these days. And I wish I had the other photos, because that's not the whole church. As our Tarramurra crew that are watching in this morning know, that this is not our church. There's a building like this. There's a more traditional building up at Tarramurra. And there's always on average about 40 to 50 other people that are watching with us right now as you join us through our live stream. Northside looks really different today than it did on that corner of Oxley Street and Pole Lane. But the vision, I don't believe will ever change in this church. The DNA won't ever change in this church. We want to be the sort of church that engages the disengaged with Jesus. Because I know that you know someone that you would love to know Jesus. And if you're up for it, part of the call this morning is to help us create that type of church where you don't have to send them off to someone else's church. And of course, there'll be some who want to move on to deeper and bigger and greater things. And of course, God leads this congregation, as it's done time and time again, into different places and spaces. But what I want to affirm in each and every one of you, if you call this place home this morning, is that you are this generation. You are the now generation. Have you realized that you are the generation that God has chosen to steward Northside now? And that generation absolutely believed it. The remnant that stood up for us today, they absolutely believed it back then in 1985. And you are that generation. And so the degree to which you and I take this on board is the degree to which we continue to set this church up
for all of those in the future that will eventually find hope and healing through this place. And so being Vision Sunday, of course, I want to call you, church, to consider what part you will play in that. Many of you already do. But that's what these cards were there for, is that it's not often in the life of our church throughout the year that we make the call and the appeal to say, will you consider in what way you might invest and pray into the life of our church? Now, if you're a guest with us this morning, this is not necessarily for you, but by all means, if you want to join Team Northside, join Team Northside. You can belong before you believe, and you believe before you behave. You don't have to be a member of this church to serve with us on this adventure. But I'm asking you, church, this morning, and I'm asking you up there at Tarramurra to prayerfully, whether it be in these next moments or over this next week or so, to consider what part you might play, what type of investment you might make in such a way that it costs you. And it's got to cost you, because haven't you found that we seem to pay more attention to the things that cost us and we value? And so I guess this morning as your pastor, when I, you know, some of you are thinking, man, of all Sundays I walked in, it had to be the one where he's going to ask us for money. And I would say to you this morning, sorry, not sorry. And it's for this reason, why wouldn't we have a commitment and a plan to support an organization that is so committed to the one thing that has changed our life? And so what's your commitment and what is your plan to all of that? It's going to be between you and God in this next moment. And of course, there are things that over the coming week or so, family members, we'll send you the details. One of the biggest things that's on our radar this year is that we would dearly love, through the generosity of this church, to employ a youth pastor here at Crow's Nest. Underneath us, and I'll declare my personal interest because my son's in year six, but there is the most amazing group of year six kids, a whole room full that Luba and Tommy and Toby have been investing into down there. And this church is about to see its first ever organic youth group come into the mix when they hit year seven next year. And I want our church to be ready for that. And the reality is we don't have the funds for it at the moment. That's going to take a little part on all of our part to stretch that little bit further to do it. Why wouldn't we want to be part of an organization that is committed, certainly as a parent, to raising the next generation for Jesus? So as we head to communion this morning and a time of prayer, you think about the way in which you want to respond to God in all of this. Of course, you can just write a hope or a prayer for your church. You can scan the QR code and adjust your giving. Maybe you heard a generosity series last year and you never pushed the button or you never made that decision. Today is the day to do it. We need you. Maybe it's joining Team Northside for the first time. Maybe it's increasing your giving. All of this so we can be the sort of church that is ready for that moment when that person that you know wants to know more about Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this precious church that is Northside Community Church. And as I've spent the week looking back through old photos, I declare in this prayer that we are only ever building on someone else's foundation, as Paul says in Corinthians, on ministers and leaders and servants, beautiful people for those of us that have been here long enough, people who are watching us now in the great cloud of witnesses, people who have faithfully served, people who have sacrificially given so that we could worship in a place like this. Members of the North Tarramurra Church of Christ who have faithfully given and paid off a property up there that is debt-free and now continues to grow with the sound of little feet and young voices again in their church. People throughout the years who, through their absolute love for you, Lord Jesus, and their belief in you, have committed to playing their part in the kingdom of God. And so it's with that spirit, Father God, this morning as we prepare to respond, that Lord, we would see you clearly, that Jesus, we would look to you and that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, and that you would lead us into a place and a space of church life, Father God, that is one that is rich and continues to be beautiful and genuine and that continues to see people finding Jesus in new and exciting and unexpected ways. So much that we are to be thankful for in this church. We praise you for that, Father God. And we commit this time to you now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.